I want to welcome everyone to our third ACE the Test call, which is based on the Testing Mom score system, where today we're going to do a deep dive into step three of the score system, and then we'll take your questions. So we did send you a handout, and if you'd like to print it out and take notes on it, feel free. Or just take some notes on any scratch paper that you have, but I think we're going to give you a lot of good tips tonight. And in case you missed any of our last calls, you can go back and listen to them. Just log into Testing Mom and click the green Parent Resources bar on the homepage. And the recordings for all of our ACE the Test calls are on the top row of the Parent Resources section. But let's do a quick review of the score system before I dive into step three. And as I told you on some of the past calls, it's not something we made up. It's something that really has emerged from our Testing Mom parent community. And since 2010, we've had over 400,000 parents working with our program in one way or another. And after parents use the program with their kids, they always report back to us and let us know how their kids did on the test. And whenever they tell us that their child scored in the 97th to 99th percentiles, we always say, well, how did you do it? What's your secret to helping your child do so well? And parents are usually really nice about sharing their very best techniques with us. And through the years, we've just tracked what they've told us works and what they've told us doesn't work when it comes to working with their kids and helping them get ready for these tests. And when we look at what works, it really always comes down to some aspect of these same five steps. And now we call this the score system. And I'll do a quick review of the system. The first step is start with the application and test requirements. And this is all about learning the process to apply to the program you want and gaining an understanding of the test that will be given to your child or the skills they're going to assess in your child. The second step, which we did last week, is challenge your child through practice. Here, we're talking about doing practice questions that are modeled after the actual questions on the test your child will take. And in this step, we really stress the importance of mixing up your tools, making your test prep fun, creating a routine, and motivating your child. Now, overcoming test-taking mistakes is the third step, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So I won't even get into this right now because we're going to go really far into this in a minute. And the fourth step is to reinforce underlying abilities, and this is what we'll talk about next time, which is to really gain an understanding of the underlying abilities your child needs to have to do well on a given test, and then to build these skills outside of your test prep work, and then finally emphasizing listening, focus, and perseverance. And these are the three most important traits that young children need to have when taking tests, and really they need them for doing well in school as well. And so when we talk about this, I'll give you ideas on how to build these qualities in your child. So now let's talk about overcoming those common test-taking mistakes. And, you know, when I look at what is really, really important in whether or not a child does well on a test, the first thing they need to have, of course, is the underlying skills that are being assessed. But the second thing, which is equally important, is they need good test-taking skills. And what I'd like to do is look at 10 different test-taking skills that young children often don't have. And the reason they don't have these skills is just because they lack experience. They just haven't taken tests before. So this is something they need to learn. And most kids are not going to make all the mistakes I'm going to tell you about, but I just want you to know about them so that when you're doing practice questions with your child, you'll recognize them when they take place. And then you can take some action to correct your child so they don't make this same mistake during the actual test itself. So the first mistake that we see young children make is not understanding the test format. And with very young children, you want to make sure your child understands what you're asking with each type of question. For example, with an oral question where you ask a question and then there's four answer choices in the form of pictures, one of those pictures is correct, the others are wrong. And your child needs to understand that you don't want them to pick the prettiest picture or the picture of the thing you like the most. You're looking for the right answer. You know, they have to listen to the question and find the right answer. And this concept alone is something that a young child needs to master. And the way to do this is you just want to talk through several questions like this with your child. And you need to explain to your child that you do need to listen to the question I'm asking and then look at the pictures. And together we'll talk about why one picture is the right answer and why the other pictures are the wrong answer. And after you do a lot of these with your child, they will understand just immediately what they're being asked to do. Now, with older children, if you have an older child taking a test, they ask so many different types of questions with an older child on all kinds of tests that older kids get. And what really helps them is to have experienced each different type of question on a test ahead of time, so that they're not going to have to spend time during the test itself trying to figure out what they're being asked to do. So just experience really helps them to understand the test format. Now, the second big mistake that kids make is that they don't know what to do when they don't know the answer. And this is a really big one. Both younger kids and older kids will say, I don't know, if they're asked a question. Like, let's say they're taking a test with a psychologist. Psychologist or tester reads them the question, and they're supposed to give a verbal answer. Many times behind the closed doors of a testing room, a child will just say, I don't know. And what you want to teach your child to do if they do this is you always want to say, oh, come on, give it a try. Make your best guess. You want to teach your child that you always make your best guess, and you never say, I don't know. Younger kids and older kids, when they don't know the answer to a question, they'll skip the question altogether. So again, you want them to understand you don't want to skip questions, because if you skip a question, you're always going to get it wrong. But if you guess, you might actually get it right. So I'm going to talk a little bit about how to teach them to make their best guess. But this is something you just want them to always know to do, even when they're not sure of an answer. Another thing an older child will do when they're taking a test is that they will actually get stuck on a question that they don't know the answer to, and they'll lose valuable time. And if you have an older child taking a test, teach them that they're really not sure of the answer. You don't want them to get stuck. Make their best guess. If it's a pencil-to-paper test, they can put a little check by the side of the question and come back to it later. So make your best guess, come back to it later. And teach your child that not only should you physically move on when you just answered a hard question, but you need to mentally move on. You know, some kids will let a very hard question early in a test upset them and affect their performance moving forward. And you want to tell your child that there's always going to be stumpers in a test that give all the kids trouble, and you don't want to worry about them. You can always come back to them later if it's a pencil and paper test, but every question on a test is worth the same number of points. So just answer everything you can answer and then go back to those really hard questions. Now, the third mistake that kids make is that they just don't have any knowledge of basic answer choice tricks or strategy. And really, there's two things that we want to teach kids to do. First, we want to teach them to make a good guess. And to do that, they have to eliminate the answers that are clearly wrong. And the way you want to teach this to your child is when you're going through any type of question with your child together, show him how to eliminate immediately the answers that are absolutely positively wrong. And you can do this just by talking through the question with him and show him how you would do it. And then ask your child to show you how he would do it. And then show your child that after you eliminate the questions the answers that are clearly wrong, then he only needs to focus on one or two possibilities when he answers the question. And that makes test taking much easier. And it also makes it easier if you have to guess. And in fact, we're actually in the process of adding practice questions to our site that teach children how to eliminate, identify when answers are wrong, and then eliminate them. And I want you to look for these practice questions, and they're going to be placed very shortly under Parent Resources Test Taking Skills. You'll be able to find them there, and you can literally practice this whole eliminate the answers that are clearly wrong. Now, another mistake kids make in this category is they choose the most obvious answer. And this is a real rookie mistake that a lot of test takers make. And the way you want to help your child with this one is when you walk through practice questions with your child, explain to them that the person who writes the test is always trying to trick kids by putting up answers that seem right at first, but they really aren't when you study them more. And kids just hate to be tricked. So if you alert them to the possibility that someone's trying to trick them, they are more likely to watch out for it. And also, when you are doing practice questions with your child at first, have your child consider every single answer choice one by one. Ask them to explain to you why the right one is correct and why the others are all wrong. And that will get him used to going through each individual answer before making his choice. So he's not so likely to rush to the most obvious answer. He's trained to look at all the answers. If you have a young child who's going to take a test where they have to point to the answer, and this is like pre-K students who are taking their first test, you know, they're not going to have to bubble anything in, they're just going to point to the answer. You want to teach your child to sit on her hands before she makes her choice, and that way she won't rush to answer the question before she thinks about it. Okay, now, the next common mistake, I don't know if you'd really call this a test-taking mistake, but it's something that really gets in the way of kids doing well on a test, and it comes into play with younger kids, and that is they're very shy. And they really are uncomfortable going into a room with a tester they don't know. And sometimes they just can't relax enough to really show what they know. So how do you help a child like this? Well, first of all, go to our parent resources section and click the Shy Kids tab. I did two interviews with a shyness expert, Dr. Bernardo Carducci, and I talked to him about how to help a child open up to a tester that he or she doesn't know. So listen to that interview. There's lots of suggestions there. And some of the suggestions are things like before the test, you want to encourage your child to talk with safe strangers in your presence, people like waiters or cashiers or teachers or friends of yours. Get them used to talking to an adult who is safe for them to talk to. Another thing to do is when going in for a test, you want to kind of set the stage for your child. So let them know that the tester is a special teacher, just like Mrs. So-and-so, your teacher, and she's very nice, you know, and she loves to work with little kids, just like your teacher does. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to relate the experience they're about to have to an experience you know that they're comfortable with. Again, that will help them feel more comfortable going in. And another thing you can do to really help a child who's very, very shy is have them assessed ahead of time by a tutor, or just have them work with a tutor ahead of time for a few sessions, because that gets them used to doing these types of questions with somebody other than mom or dad. Now, another common mistake kids make when they take tests is they rush through the test like it's a race. And this often happens when the kids, there's like a series of the same type of question, and the child is left on their own to answer the questions. Kids just seem to think that the first one through all the questions wins. Maybe they just want to go through them really fast so they can go on and do something fun. And the solution to this is if you think your child is rushing, through a series of questions, then go back to the questions and then mark the ones that are right and the ones that are wrong. And if your child missed quite a few, you know, you sit next to them and work through the questions together. And if you find that your child still can't correct her mistakes, then that tells you she's having trouble with the underlying skills to answer the questions. If you find that with you by your child's side, she can easily fix her answers, then you know that the mistake she's made is possibly because she was rushing. So you do this a few times after your child completes a set of questions. And if you find that they're just constantly rushing, one strategy is you can tell your child that you'll have them do 10 questions in a row, and that your child can stop practicing when they get 10 right in a row. And if they miss, they have to start over. Well, you would be surprised how quickly a child will focus if getting 10 right in a row means that they can then go watch their favorite TV show when they're done. So that's something that really slows a kid down, because they learn that, oh, okay, well, if I get them right, then I can go do something I really want to do now. Another thing you can do with an older child, and this is really important to listen to, because this is important for tests, but also for just doing well in school and on homework. The next time your child, you know, rushes through a series of questions and makes a lot of mistakes, go through them, and you can say to them, there's 4 mistakes on this page. Go back and find them and then correct them yourself. And eventually, if your child continues to make mistakes, you look at the series of questions they did, and you say to them, there's mistakes on this page. Go back and find them and correct them. Now, once you've done this a few times, your child is going to realize that it's better to take their time, not to rush, get the questions right in the first place, rather than to have to go back and find all their mistakes and fix them. Now, this is great training to teach a child to check their own work on tests and on homework. The 6th mistake that kids make very often is not making their answer choices clear. Now, with very young kids where they need to point at an answer, you actually may have to work with your child on pointing skills. If you have a pre-K child who's not going to have to bubble, but they're just going to point to answers, you want to make sure they don't point to one answer and then move it to another answer, or point to an answer that's between two answers, and they don't get credit for having the right answer. And what I like to do with little kids is I like to teach them that their pointer finger is a magic finger. And you let them know that they don't want to touch anything with their magic finger until they're absolutely sure it's the right answer. So you teach them to point that magic finger with intention and to leave her finger there, not to zigzag it among several answers. So just remember that magic finger. Now, with older children, in terms of not making their answer choices clear, it's bubbling errors that we're talking about. You know, this can be anything from not filling in bubbles completely, or accidentally filling in 2 bubbles on the same row and then losing their place. So this happens a lot. We have a bubble lesson, actually, with all of our sets of questions. So make sure your child does the bubble lesson that we offer. And the questions in the bubble lesson are very, very easy. Your child will be able to answer them no matter what grade they're in. The point is to teach them how to fill in bubbles correctly. And talk to your child. Let them know that when they are filling in bubbles, that they should regularly go back, like every 3 or 4 questions, and just make absolutely sure that they're matching the right question with the right bubble. It's very, very easy to lose your place when you're bubbling. So even for older college students. So with little kids, it can happen. So warn them about this and do the bubble lesson so they have some practice. Now, the 7th mistake that kids make a lot is, and this is with math questions, is that they try to do the math problems in their heads. Often, kids will take, let's say it's a word problem, and it's, you know, any word problem that has some numbers that it mentions in the word problem, kids will take those two numbers and just try to add them, subtract them, multiply them, or divide them to get an answer. And they won't read the actual words of the question. When it's read to them, they won't listen to the words. They just look at the numbers. And then they try to answer in their heads. And that can be a disaster. It leads to all wrong answers. Now, with younger kids, if there's a math word problem that's being read to your child, like there's a test called the OLSAT, and there are word problems in the OLSAT, you want to make sure your younger child is using his or fingers while trying to solve the problem. If the problem is there are four cookies, teach your child to put up four fingers. And two get eaten, take two away, you know, and then add how many fingers are left. So teach your child to use their fingers in word problems when they're listening to them. You also want to teach your children, little children, what words connote addition and what words connote subtraction. So if they hear a word problem and at the end of the word problem it's, you know, the question is how many altogether, how many in all, how many in total, how many combined, those are all words that mean add. Or if the word problem says how many are left over, how many remain, what is the difference? How many fewer? You know, those words tend to mean subtraction. And little kids get mixed up between addition and subtraction. So just teaching them those words can help them know what to do, whether to add or subtract. Now, with older children, they usually are given scratch paper. And you just want to make sure that your child uses the scratch paper to answer the question. And even if there's a multiple choice test where there are answer choices given, encourage your child to go through the problem, use the scratch paper to get to an answer and then check it against the answers given, because they aren't going to be able to do it in their head, especially word problems. They're just never that straightforward that the numbers in the problem lead straight to an answer. Usually there's a few steps you have to go through, and if you use scratch paper, it will really help get to an answer. Okay, so now the eighth mistake that kids make, and this is really more for older kids, and that is they don't access test information correctly. And I'm going to give you a couple of things they do. These kids do this routinely because they just are not experienced at taking tests. They don't listen to or read the instructions. They just let that go right over their heads. They don't read the question itself carefully. On a test, every word in a question matters, and kids will skim the questions and miss something important. If it's a question that has a chart or a picture that's relevant to it, they'll skip right over the question or the chart. And if it's a reading comprehension passage, they'll skim the passage. Or they'll look for, when they get to the questions, they don't go back and check the passage when they're answering the questions. And again, this all comes from inexperience. And I'm going to tell you where to find the solutions to these. I'm not going to go through each of these in detail. But on our website, in the Parent Resources section, there's something called Test-Taking Skills Older. And there I address solutions to each of these common mistakes. And I want you to go there. If you're watching your child take a test, practice test, and you think they're making some of these mistakes, go into that Parent Resources section, Test Taking Skills Older, and look at the solutions for these types of problems. Because as you can imagine, these types of problems, these types of mistakes just, you know, lead to poor test scores. And it may not be that your child doesn't know the material, it's just they're literally not taking the test well. They're not listening to instructions, or they're skipping over the chart that's very relevant to the question. Now, the ninth mistake that kids make, young and old kids, is they get distracted during a test. If kids are taking a test in a small group, Maybe they're pre-K, maybe they're kindergartners, so there's a group of five of them taking a test. Or maybe it's a bigger group. They're actually in a whole classroom of kids taking a test. A lot of times kids look around to see how the other kids are doing. And they see that other kids might be working faster than they are. Or they think, oh, the test seems so much easier for him. He's answering all the questions. And while they're so busy looking at the other kids, they're losing valuable time on their own test. So what you want to do here is talk to your child ahead of time and let them know not to look at the other students when they're taking their test. Let them know that this is a waste of time and it's going to slow them down. And if you know that your child is very distractible, ask the teacher to sit him in front as close to the teacher as possible, because usually that will help a child pay better attention. Now, after your child takes an important test and you ask him how the test went, if he tells you that another child distracted him by making noise or maybe getting sick during the test, or maybe asking questions when your child was trying to concentrate, or if your child says there was a loud construction noise or a fire drill or any major distraction took place during the test, you need to report this to the teacher or the testing center right away, because your child may be entitled to a retest. And this is something you need to do right away, because you can't really wait and see if your child got a really poor score and then say, oh, yeah, he told me that another child threw up during the test. You know, you have to say it when it happens, or you probably won't be able to get a retest. Now, the last problem that kids have with respect to test taking is really the mental aspect of taking a test. And it's amazing how much, you know, this can impact a child's ultimate score. I mean, you want your child to go in to a test as relaxed as they possibly can be, and we want to sort of eliminate the test anxiety before it even happens, hopefully, for your child. And I want to give you some tips for younger kids and older kids for eliminating anxiety. Now, with younger kids, you know, a pre-K to first or second grader usually does not understand the importance of the test. And it's really best for you not to try to tell them how important it is, because that puts too much pressure on them. You want to talk about the test prep you're doing and where they're going to be going and what they're going to be doing in a way that they can process at their age. So when you're preparing for a test, call what you're doing brain games or brain quest or something fun. You know, don't say, let's go test, do our test prep, and never call a section of a test if you're working, you know, with subtests by their official names. You know, just come up with fun names, because you really want to characterize all that you're doing as being really quite fun. And let them know that they're doing their practice to make them smarter for school, or to make them better thinkers, or to train their brain the way mommy and daddy train their muscles at the gym. But do everything to avoid the T word, the test word. And you want to help them feel comfortable about what's going to happen. You know, you can explain to them that, you know, in a few weeks you're going to meet with a special teacher who wants to know everything a four-year-old knows. And she's very nice, just like your teacher, Mrs. So-and-so. And you just go in there and answer her questions as best you can. And it's okay if you don't know all the answers. Just show her how much a four-year-old knows. You know, talk about it in a way that she can feel comfortable. And you can go to the test site or ahead of time. You may not be able to go inside, but go to where it is. And when you walk by it, you know, let your child know, oh, that's where we're going to go next week to meet with that special teacher. And if it's at a school, you can play in the playground maybe, or play at a nearby park. But you want to make that a positive experience. Now, make sure you show up early for the test. You don't want to rush in at the last minute. You want to give your child time to make a very easy transition from you to the tester. And the person that your child separates from most easily is the person who should bring them to the test. And you want to make going to the special teacher for their test a fun experience. I mean, let your child wear their very favorite outfit if they'd like to. You want them to feel really comfortable. And maybe plan to do something fun or special after, but don't make it too special because you don't want your child to rush through the test. And many parents will offer their child a special reward if the special teacher tells them that their child did their very best. Now, if you know that this kind of thing is a motivator for your child and will make them more willing to work their hardest, then use it. If you don't do that on a, you know, you've never tried it, don't try it for the first time when there's a test, but it's something that if you know it'll encourage your child, certainly go ahead and use it. Now, with older kids, you know, they know often that they're going in for a test, and they often know how important the test is. You know, what you want to do is you don't want them to be stressed out about it. But certainly if they really want to get into a particular gifted program or go to a particular school, they can feel anxious. One of the ways to help them feel less anxious is to send them in very prepared to take the test. You know, help them understand that the more you prepare and really know how to handle the questions that are going to come your way, you know, the more relaxed you can be going into it because it won't be hard for you. Tell your child that you'll do everything you can to help them prepare, but that all you want is for them to go in and do their best, that you're going to be proud of him no matter what. You know, you don't want to add to your child's stress by talking about how important this test is. And remind your child of other times he's taken important tests and done very well. He can do it again. He's done it before. You know, you have faith in him. He can do deep breathing before the test. Another thing that sometimes helps is to do just like a big giant stress, like the kind a big giant stretch, like when you just wake up in the morning and you stretch your whole body, you know, that feels good and loosens you up before a big test. Now, some resources that we have on our website that I want to point you to are in our parent resources section. Read the paper we have on test-taking skills, common mistakes that younger kids have, and test-taking skills common mistakes older kids generally make. These offer lots of ideas for if you see your child making any one of these mistakes, how to sort of help turn them around before they go in for the test. The other thing we have, again under parent resources, it's under the tab called psychological support. We have a webinar you can watch with Dr. Michelle Chung, and she talks about how to improve your child's test performance. And she is a psychologist, and she gives lots of tips on improving test performance from a mental point of view. And this will be very instructional for all of us who are preparing our kids to take important tests, because it talks about, you know, just all the things you can do to help a child feel relaxed and confident, and, you know, and I think you'll find it very, very helpful if you watch that webinar. As I mentioned before, in the parent resources section, we're adding a set of questions called test-taking lessons, and there are some questions there where kids learn how to eliminate answers that are clearly wrong so they can guess or at least pick the answer that's absolutely right. So these are kind of fun to do. They're different from typical test practice questions. So, you know, in closing, I would just say to watch out for any of these common mistakes when you work with your child. And if you see them happening, step in and try to correct them so they don't make the same mistake when it really, really counts. And that's it for step 3 of the score system.